Here it is. Shaw lines one softly to left. The Brewers are going to have the lead. Yelich will score. And it is 2-1 Milwaukee.
The pitch.
Albert lines one, base hit. Cubs win. Cubs win. Albert Almora Jr., a hanging breaking ball. Big celebration. The Cubs are still in first place.
1-1 pitch. Trevor sends it a mile. Oh, my goodness. On the fly to the concourse in left. Touch him all time for Trevor Story. His 34th. 7-0 Rockies.
Oh, if the Royals were in the middle of this, it'd be even more exciting, but still pretty exciting. If you're a baseball fan, the Major League Baseball playoff races are beyond heating up. We're down to the final three or four games of the season, and it's super tight in the National League Central, super tight in the National League West, and super tight when it comes to the National League Wild Card. All the drama is in the National League, and you just heard Bob Uecker, Mr. Major League himself, with the call as the Brewers win last night 2-1 over the Cardinals. Lorenzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, former Royals. Eric Kratz, remember him? Former Royal. They're all going to the playoffs again. That's pretty doggone cool. They clinched a playoff berth last night. They remain a half a game behind the Cubs. As you heard, they clinched a playoff berth with the RBI single walk-off to stay ahead in the division in first place in the National League Central. So the Cubs up half a game on the Brewers. And you heard the Rockies with a big homer from Trevor Story is 34th. The Rockies win. The Dodgers lose. The Cardinals lose. The Rockies have a half-game lead over the Dodgers in the National League West, and they have a game-and-a-half lead over St. Louis now in the wild-card race, and the Dodgers are one game ahead of the Cardinals, and the Dodgers still have a chance to where they might not make the playoffs. So Colorado in a pretty good spot going in their final series of the year against the Washington Nationals. So it's pretty exciting stuff, and who knows how it's going to shake out, but the Rockies certainly helped themselves a lot. Everything went perfect for the Rockies last night. Perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. The Cardinals lose, the Dodgers lose, and the Rockies win. And they won easily, 14-0 over the Phillies. So pretty impressive stuff. The Royals were in action last night. They're not exactly in the playoff chase, but they are chasing or trying to avoid chasing history when it comes to a franchise record for most losses in the season, which is 106. And last night, thanks to Alex Gordon and Heath Philmeyer, they are guaranteed to not have the worst season by itself. They got their 56th win of the year last night.
That is deep to left field. Pereira turns, and it's in the crowd for a home run. And now the Royals have scored in 6 of 7 innings.
And Heath Philmeyer, another very solid start for the Royals. Here's Ned on his young pitcher.
Threw the ball well, spotted it well, changed speeds well. He's really done a nice job of executing his game plan. You know, he doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. And when they do, they haven't really hurt him here lately. But, you know, going deep into games and, you know, doing everything that you want a young pitcher to do.
Philmeyer, 7 1/3, struck out a career-high 9, even got his first baseball career hit with an RBI double. Whit Merrifield still his 40th base. Whit has a chance to lead the league in hits. He will lead the league in stolen bases with at least 40 at 40th last night. The Royals with their 56th victory means that they will not have 107 losses. The worst record for a team was 2005 when the Royals finished 56-106. They're now 56-102, so they have an opportunity. One more win to avoid the worst record in franchise history. And once again, they've got some pitching that looks pretty good. Philmeyer acquired a trade there with Oakland in the offseason. So the Royals, and we haven't even seen Jesse Hahn, who's been hurt all year. Nate Carnes, if he comes back. So there's reason to be optimistic with the Royals and the possibility of their rotation going into next spring. One guy the Royals would love to have on their team would be Jacob deGrom. Jacob deGrom, just unbelievable. 29 consecutive starts, 3 runs or less. He does it again last night. He was unbelievable. 8 innings of shutout ball, 10 strikeouts, gave up 2 measly singles. And he has 1,000th career strikeout in the game as well. Major League leading ERA of 1.70. But his record, he's done now for the season, 10-9. He struck out 269 batters in just 217 innings. He probably should be the Cy Young Award winner, although Max Scherzer has struck out over 300 this year. Scherzer's won it before. DeGrom hasn't. DeGrom was asked about his Cy Young chances despite a 10-9 record since his team can't score any runs for him.
You're going to have to ask who votes. But I feel like I
wish I had more wins, like I said, but it is what it is. And I feel like I put myself in a pretty good position.
Absolutely. He should be your National League Cy Young Award winner. All the numbers point to it. The only number it doesn't point to it is wins, and he can't control that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's every single night gives up 3 runs or less, and he's 10-9.
That's pretty sad.
It is really sad.
when you say 27 consecutive?
29.
29 now?
Three runs or less,
and you only have 10 wins out of that?
Uh-huh.
That's insane.
It is insane. You're absolutely right.
I mean, Zach Greinke was bad about getting run support, but that's
nothing
like
compared to this.
Mutated into something way different.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. All right, we'll talk some football coming up in a moment. And the Ryder Cup, by the way, the Ryder Cup's coming up here very soon. In fact, it's this week. Schedule of events, Friday is when the four-ball matches start. Then the foursomes, 8:10 in the morning on Friday as the U.S. of A. Over in Paris at Le Golf National in Paris, France. The USA is a heavy favorite to win the Ryder Cup, but we've seen that before and things haven't worked out. So they'll start that on Friday. Okay, local sports information, Dusty.
Yeah, a lot of it, and you can find most of this information, if not all of it, at ncksports.com. Today's local schedule, cross-country, the Beloit Invitational being held this afternoon at 3:45. Beloit, St. John's, Lakeside, Osborne, Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas, Pike Valley, Southern Cloud, and Smith Center from our area are all competing there. Again, that's the Beloit Country Club this afternoon, the Beloit Cross Country Invitational. Beloit Volleyball is at the Rock Creek Triangular. They're outside of St. George. Wamego is also competing in that one. And the Sylvan Lucas Triangular this evening, St. John's, Tipton, and Tescott are also there. So let's look at the schedule for today. We also remind everybody that tonight we have our high school football locker room chats on Katy Country 94, as we will talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas here this evening, beginning around 5:10. It's also online at katycountry94.com. Lots of new information and at your fingertips there about things that are going on in high school sports at ncksports.com. Yesterday we told you that the Kansas State High School Activities Association releasing their classifications for 2018-19. Full release can be found there at ncksports.com, as we mentioned. Just one area team, like we said yesterday, that changed classification. That's Lincoln, as they moved down from 2A to 1A, as expected. Beloit's still 3A, Smith Center still 2A. St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Osborne, Rock Hills, Thunder Ridge, Sylvan Lucas, Southern Cloud, Pike Valley, all schools staying in the 1A ranks here with the new classifications. Also, the Kansas Coaches Association announced Coaches of the Year Wednesday for the 2017-18 school year, and Don Mulby of Pike Valley was named the 8-man football coach of the year, so he was on that list. Also, Mike Bauman of Pike Valley, the middle school boys track and field coach of the year, and that full list also at ncksports.com. And you can also find the newest rankings from the Kansas Volleyball Association here for week 4. Beloit's up to number 2 in class 3A. Royal Valley's number 1 in that class, and Class 2A, Pittsburgh Colgan number 1, Smith Center 6, and also from the MCL Trigo number 8, and this in 1A, Centralia stays in the number 1 spot, and Thunder Ridge is still number 2, and Sylvan Lucas number 7 in the latest rankings from the Kansas Volleyball Association. So a lot new going on here, and all that information that I mentioned is at ncksports.com.
I want to talk about those rankings for a moment. Okay. And I think it's great that Beloit is ranked second in Class 3A. It's great to see Thunder Ridge ranked second in Class 1A. But I'm going to tell you right now, rankings mean absolutely jack squat. They don't mean anything. And I'll tell you why. It's about who you play. And we see this every year, especially in volleyball and girls and boys basketball, where teams from leagues that aren't very good, and it's not the team's fault that their league isn't very good. And then there's leagues that are really, really good. And teams get the state competition, and they're clearly better than their record indicates. And some teams are not as good as their record indicates. And I look at the Class 3A situation, and from the Big 7 League, Royal Valley is number 1. They're undefeated. Nemaha Central is ranked 8th. They're 16-7. They're ranked 8th. 7 losses. Holton is ranked 10th. 3 of the top 10 schools in the state in Class 3A are from the same league. So Beloit is 16-2. They're out there now 18-2 after winning early this week. They're ranked 2nd, but their league is not doing them any favors. Their league, the North Central Activity Association, is not very good, and that's not Beloit's fault. It's not very good. It's the same way for football. It's not very good, and it hasn't been good in football the last few years. It's Beloit and Southeast. Since Sacred Heart fell down, there's really just two schools that are solid in football. And in volleyball, Beloit dominates this league now the last few years, and they don't even lose a league match, and sometimes they're not even challenged. And then they play in tournaments like they did in the Southeast tournament. They won that for the first time ever, and that's good, playing some higher class competition, although that doesn't guarantee that that's better competition. I think people automatically think that. And they've lost to a couple of really good teams from Nebraska. So there's only teams that Beloit's lost to. And so when I look at Class 3A rankings, if you get up caught up and you're like, wow, well, Beloit's, you know, they're number two in the state. And that is, that's awesome. But when it comes to sub-state, that doesn't help you at all.
No.
And when it comes to state, it doesn't help you at all. And I'm going to tell you, the team that I would keep a very close eye on, and it depends on what happens at sub-state, but I know this program fairly well, and I know their head coach very well. She's one of the best in the business. Jessica Cook is the head coach at Nemaha Central. She coached at Baileyville B&B and won multiple state titles. She played under Kimbrook Tennell, who's won 14 state championships as a volleyball coach at Centralia, him and his wife, Kim. She knows volleyball. So do all the other coaches that are ranked. Don't get me wrong. But Nemaha Central, 16-7. Of those seven losses, who do you think seven losses, they've lost four to Royal Valley. So when you sit here and you rank Nemaha Central eighth, four of their seven losses are to the number one team in the state, Royal Valley. And, oh, by the way, another loss is to Holton. So five of their seven losses are to top 10 teams, other teams in their league. They just swept Marysville, and Marysville's ranked ninth.
Yeah.
So there's no question the Big Seven League, for instance, is much better than the North Central Activity Association. Once again, that's not a take a shot at any team in particular in the North Central Activity Association. It's just fact. Go look at the record. Southeast Saline is 4-19. I did their match against Beloit the other night. They're 4-19. They're 3-5 in the league, which means they're 1-14 against everyone else outside the league.
Yeah.
That's not a good indicator. That's a bad indicator.
Oh, yeah, without question.
Now, Beloit's kind of defied those odds because they have done very well outside of the league so far in their tournaments, and they're going to get challenged with Wamego and Rock Creek coming up tonight in a triangular. That'll be good for them.
Yeah.
Concordia tournament, that'll be good for them. So I'm not saying Beloit's not the second-best team in the state. If people are hearing that, that's not what I'm saying, so don't misconstrue my words. What I'm saying is the rankings don't mean anything. They're nice and cute. But if Royal Valley goes undefeated and loses in sub-state finals, what does their ranking mean?
Nothing.
They won't even be at state. They don't seed it based off of rankings. They seed it off your record. So, you know, Nemaha Central is a very dangerous team if they make it to state, in my opinion. I would guess Holton is pretty dangerous, too, since they're now 3A. And, of course, we know Heston's usually good. And I've heard that, well, TMP's down. Well, TMP probably, you know, they're probably still not bad. I wouldn't write them off either. And then the new classifications, you're wondering, well, who's going to be in your class? Ellsworth dropped to 2A, so Beloit won't face them in a sub-state. But Minneapolis, they might. Minneapolis, you know, I don't know how scary Minneapolis is. They're 4-2 in league, and their overall record's okay. But once again, you know, who've you played? And we find out when we get to state, teams that have played really good teams and teams that were maybe in a weaker league. And so the struggle for teams like Beloit and others is in other leagues that are struggling, because it's not your fault that the league's struggling. Some years it's good, some years it's not. 3 or 4 years ago, Southeast Saline was 34-4 and Beloit was 35-7.
Yeah.
So, you know, some years it's pretty good. But this year it's just not quite as good. And it'll be interesting to see. And it's good that Beloit goes out and is playing other teams outside the league like they are tonight. And I think probably the same thing would apply to Thunder Ridge. Thunder Ridge is a very good volleyball team as well. But, you know, when you play the same league schools over and over and over, it'd be good to get outside the league and play some other teams and to give you a better barometer of where you're going to be come sub-state and state time. So it is just kind of interesting to look at the rankings and you get caught up in, well, this team's undefeated. Ooh, they must be really good. Well, if they haven't played anybody, they might not be as good as you think. The eighth or ninth ranked team in the state with 6-7 losses might be much better than the number one team in the state.
Well, and 1A is magnified, too, because as I'm looking at 1A, there's only one Twin Valley League team ranked in 1A.
Right.
And I guarantee you that there's probably more than one Twin Valley League team that's top 10 in 1A.
And I'll guarantee you there'll be two or three TVL teams that'll make state.
Yeah.
At least a couple.
Yeah. And with the way we don't know what the regional and sub-states are going to look like with the new – going back to the old system with the new system now. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what – I mean, you're taking 10 out of probably 100 some – 1A schools that play volleyball. So you don't even know after 10, like who's who after 10 if you're looking at that.
Well, just look at this. In Class 1A, now that they combined them together instead of two divisions, last year you would have a team with 8-9 losses right now be ranked.
Oh, yeah.
But now you've got a bigger pool. So the worst record in 1A in the volleyball rankings is Valley Falls with 17-3 record, ranked ninth. The 10th ranked team is 20-1. Okay, but then in Class 2A, the 10th ranked team has 9 losses.
Yeah, because
there's not as many schools in Class 2A. And some people still feel like that's unfair that you have to beat so many more schools in Class 1A. Well, you know, I understand that a little bit, but at the same time, you saw how watered down it was. You know, the volleyball team making it with a record of 5-30 and winning our sub-state, making a state is a joke. You won't have that anymore.
No.
So I'm okay with it. And it's going to make for a much better state tournament.
Yeah.
Will there be great teams that don't make it to state because they're in a tough sub-state and other sub-states are weaker than others? Of course. But that happens every year in any state-level competition, no matter what state you go to when it comes to regionals and sub-states tournaments. It's just, that's just the way it is. It's what, it might suck, but that's just the way life is sometimes. At some point, you got to beat the best to beat the best to get to beat the best in state. So you have the opportunity to play. You're not eliminated because of power rankings. You will have a regional tournament. You'll have a sub-state tournament. You'll have a state tournament at the lower class. You'll have a sub-state and state to higher classes. And at some point, you got to beat those teams. Would you rather play the best teams at state instead of having to face them in sub-state? Well, sure, we all would. We'd all like a cakewalk. But that's not the way it is. You want to be the best? You got to beat the best. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Right.
No matter where you're at, that's what it comes down to.
Right. It really does. Play your best ball at the end of the year, no matter what sport it is. So all the rankings that are at ncksports.com, but it is cool to see Beloit number 2 in 3A. It's cool to see Thunder Ridge number 2 in 1A. Sylvan Lucas also ranks 7th in 1A. Smith Center ranks 6th in 2A. And I think that covers the area ones there. So that's pretty doggone cool. So check it out, ncksports.com. NFL tonight, big game. Minnesota Vikings at the LA Rams. Rams are undefeated at 3-0 at 7:20 tonight on NFL Network and I believe on Fox too. And Marcus Peters probably won't play tonight with a calf injury. Aqib Talib placed on IR. He won't be back till late in the season. So the Rams are down a couple corners, and I still think their defense is still pretty good. The guys that got to replace them are better than the Chiefs' corners, except maybe Fuller. Dalvin Cook may or may not play tonight, running back for the Vikings. NFL Thursday Night Football. Okay, I want to touch upon this real quick. The new college redshirt rule is really affecting college football right now, and it's only going to get worse. College football players can now play up to 4 games without burning a redshirt. Coaches have long pushed for the rule. Now it's real, and now I think some coaches are wishing that they didn't have the rule, especially Dabo Swinney of Clemson. If you don't know the story, Trevor Lawrence, a freshman, was rotating a quarterback with Kelly Bryant, who led Clemson to the ACC championship and to the college football playoff a year ago. Well, it was announced earlier this week that Dabo Swinney decided instead of rotating quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, a freshman, is his starting quarterback. The very next day, Kelly Bryant said, I'm out of here. Dabo should have waited until after week 5 to do this. Instead, 4 games, he still has a year of eligibility, so Bryant can transfer to another institution. And you've seen Jalen Hurts of Alabama. You can play in 4 games, and then you could take your red shirt, and he can transfer and not lose a year of eligibility. And he was the quarterback that led in Alabama. At least got to the championship game, and of course then the Tua kid took over. So Bill Snyder was asked this week, the head coach of the Kansas State Wildcats at the Big 12 teleconference, about the new red shirt rule, whether he likes it or doesn't like it, and I think he speaks for probably many coaches out there now after they see that this is almost like Independence Day. After week 4, if you didn't win the job, I'm out of here, which makes it a little bit scary because Skylar Thompson still technically has a little bit of time here. Since he's been reportedly demoted to second-string quarterback, if he wants to transfer and not lose a year of eligibility, and he's played they've played 4 games, right? So there'd be 4 games. He would have a decision to make, and I'm guessing he's probably thought about it at least a little bit. I don't know if he'd be serious about it. Here's Bill Snyder on the new redshirt rule.
I'm not in favor of it. I mean, I don't – to me, it's just putting young people in a position where, you know, they can, you know, if something goes wrong here, then you can jump on board someplace else. And so, you know, that's not the way life works. You know, I mean, life, you got to be able to stand up, fight the battle, and fight back, and, overcome whatever the difficulties might be. And this, to me, is just kind of the easy way out, so to speak. And that's the reason I don't like it. Plus the fact that, you know, in this day and age, if indeed what they say about instant self-gratification is true in this age group, I don't know that it is, but maybe it is. And if indeed that's the case, then it says, hey, if I'm a number 2, I'm going to go someplace else. And, you know, you're going to find out that everybody's going to have on their roster whoever happens to be number 1, and you may lose all the rest of them. And, you know, that's, and I'm not saying it'll happen that way. I'm saying it could. I'm saying it's inviting that, and that's what I don't like about the rule.
Think about this for a second. Tristan Jebbia left Nebraska. Nebraska has a walk-on as their backup. Adrian Martinez, it cost him a game because the walk-on had to play against Troy. I think if Jebbia plays, they win that game. So now Nebraska only has two quarterbacks. That's it. So if one gets hurt, then they're down to one. Think about this for a second. Who's the next quarterback in line if Skylar Thompson would transfer and Alex Dilton's your starting quarterback and Dilton has another concussion, which he's had an issues with those?
Holcomb right now would be who you would think.
Probably,
it's probably Hunter Hull.
So I mean, probably a pretty good drop off, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you don't know. He's got high expectations,
sure,
but it would actually probably be Hunter Hull though, because they probably don't want to burn a red shirt for Holcomb.
Would we agree that's probably a significant drop off?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So now Clemson is down to one good quarterback, and this helps Alabama again. Clemson's one of the biggest challengers, Alabama, and if Lawrence gets hurt, Clemson's done, because Kelly Bryant decided to transfer. I'm not saying he shouldn't. He's playing by the rules. But like Bill Snyder said, okay, so you don't win the job, so now you're going to go somewhere else. Well, if you don't win the job there?
Yeah.
I mean, you know this system now. You put a lot of work into it. Maybe let it play out a little bit to where, hey, you know, if Alex Dilton gets another concussion, Skylar Thompson's a quarterback. Now, Skylar Thompson hasn't said he's transferring. I want people to know he hasn't announced anything like that. But it's still a possibility, technically. Kelly Bryant did it at Clemson, and we've seen Jebbia do it in Nebraska, and you're going to see more and more players start doing this. Because they can. So it's kind of like free agency in a way.
Mm-hmm.